5AA Afternoons with Stacey Lee.
Good afternoon to you. After 2 o'clock today, Talkback Gardening with Diane Hall. So if you've got a gardening question for Di, get it ready. Start jotting them down. She'll be in the studio with me to answer your questions. And she has a $50 voucher from Newman's Nursery to give away to one lucky caller after 2 o'clock. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to our next chat. Joining me in the studio this afternoon, Helen Connolly, who is the retiring Commissioner for Children and Young People in South Australia. Good afternoon, Helen.
Good afternoon, Stacey.
Thank you so much for coming in.
A pleasure. It's great.
Congratulations on retirement.
I know, people keep saying congratulations.
Is it congratulations?
I'm not sure. I think maybe it's just you made the distance. So I don't know what that is, but yeah, it's good.
I never know what to say. But for most people, retirement's an exciting time, a big decision to make.
Huge decision, and one that I keep saying it feels like you're jumping out of something without anything soft to land on. So I'm not sure where I'm going to land, but I'm certainly finishing up in this gig and I feel I need a rest.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a big job and you've been doing it for eight years.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah. How have you found the last 8 years? And we'll talk about, the changes that you might have seen over that time. But I imagine you wouldn't have stayed in the job for 8 years if you didn't enjoy it.
It's been the job of a lifetime. I'm really honoured to have finished in such an amazing role. I certainly probably didn't realise how big it was when I put my hand up, and just the sheer the amount of work it actually has taken to raise the profile of children in this state. I have to say, as an inaugural anything, so the first one to do something is always a little daunting. And I think, therefore, that every kind of bit of the journey has been a first. And so that's been exciting, but it's also you're out there. So I just think, you know, that whole thing around people, and everyone's got different expectations of what they think a commissioner should do.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no shortage of commentary.
Feedback.
But you can only do it like you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And did you find that it was, because you were the inaugural, the first, there was freedom there to make it your own, or were you sort of finding your feet along the way with what your priorities were and should be?
I think it was a really interesting start. So one of the things I did when I started was looked at what made this role really different to any other role. And the one thing in the legislation that guides my position is it says you must listen to children. Now, I don't reckon there's anyone else in the state who's got in the law that says they must speak and listen with children. So
no.
I thought, well, that's probably the clue, isn't it, that I'd be the only one. So how about I take that super seriously and put that at the core of everything I do. Really good decision, made really early, so meant that I could really concentrate on saying, well, I'm not going to be Helen Connolly commentator, I'm going to be Helen Connolly voice of children, and therefore went out and really did engage in every place and space and time and anywhere I could to engage with kids to find out what they thought was important. And then the work followed.
Yeah, well, yeah, I bet. So how did you do it? Were you going out to schools, or were you, you know, when you hear about government departments asking for feedback on the Your Say website, I think everyone's eyes glaze over. You weren't sort of asking for 15-year-olds to log onto a computer and fill out a survey.
It was I went out on what was a listening tour, and I loved it so much. It's been a focus of every piece of work I've done, is really to go out to kids. So schools, prison, hospitals, drama groups, guides, scouts, churches, childcare centres, OSHAs, Bounce, Magic Mountain, you name it. If you can think of a place in South Australia where kids are bowling alleys, I have been there and have consulted kids in all of those spaces. So say
I'm imagining you on a trampoline at Bounce, wearing the socks, talking to the kids.
Yep. So I've done the trampoline Bounce. I've climbed up the massive slippery dips in Karoonda. You name it. I've been there and done it, all in the interest of really trying to engage with kids and find out what was happening in their life. And that, I think kids know if you're genuine, you know, they can tell if you're the real deal.
And they'll tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I've just gone to where they are and asked them. And then, you know, there's always been the serious bits as well where you needed to have different kind of spaces, but the same kind of approach that just says, tell me what you're thinking. What is it that you think would make life different or better? What do you want the government to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that one, and how did you find the feedback? Because listening to you talk about the different groups of children that you were engaging with, I imagine some of the feedback would have been conflicting, or perhaps crossover with other departments. Talking about going into corrections and schools, and then the education department and the corrections department, and how do you know how far does my role go, and where do I stop, and how much feedback do they want from me? And
so that's been. I've also. A bit like the whole, I need to really put this children's voice at the centre of what I do. The other bit was I am really independent. So the legislation gives me far-reaching powers, which I haven't ever really called on, but it means that that people might need to get out of my way rather than me getting out of their way.
Oh, I like that.
I haven't ever done that. I always thought that, you know, it was a bit of the Harry Potter thing in me that said, you know, you have great responsibility comes with these powers, Harry. And I thought, oh, God, I don't want to be jumping around too much, threatening. It was always, you know, you would bring people along on the journey was a much nicer way to do business. Yeah. I think, but really interestingly, you know, the work I've done then, even with adults, I went into all of the prisons to talk to parents who were there saying, what is it about your children? So not about you as a prisoner or you as an offender or any of that, but I want to know about you and your relationship with your kids. That was fascinating work. But also the stuff around people do have conflicting views, don't they?
Mm.
And so managing, and people always say, the really obvious kind of controversial differences, I never find that as problematic because people generally, other kids will step in that. It's subtle differences that kids have with each other where whose voice do you listen to? How do you balance that out? How do you kind of work out which to jump on, which not to? Because like all of us, adults say some stupid things. Kids are stupid things.
Yep.
Adults have weird opinions. Kids have weird opinions. You know, like they're human.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to kind of take that. We have to find that real balance.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And I imagine over the 8 years in the role, the landscape for children in South Australia has changed so much. I mean, increase of technology and then mobile phone bans and now social media bans for under a certain age. Even that's just a very small example, but kids being kids, it's changed over that time as well.
Yeah, look, I think it was so interesting. When I started, I remember the day after it was announced, I was on doing media and everyone was like, well, what's your blueprint? What are you going to do for kids? You know, how are you going to make life much better for South Australian kids? And at the time, I was like, oh, God, I don't know. and I was a bit like, well, I'm going to have to go and ask people, aren't
everyone's
I?
Fairy but, godmother. Yeah, the Mary
exactly.
Poppins.
It felt a little bit like that.
Yeah.
8 years down the track, I think I do have a little bit of a blueprint for whoever wants to take notice of it. And it's about tapping into the things that kids are saying are kind of has changed over those 8 years. So things like bullying was number one when I reckon that was the biggest issue kids talked about when I first started. It was everywhere and we had lots of roundtables. There was a lot of media around bullying. I think now the bullying conversation has morphed into a general friendship and loneliness conversation. So I think that's been a bit of a shift. Kids talk about friendships. I say to adults, we need to respect children's friendships like we respect us as adults talking about partners. So if we're having a rough time in our kind of intimate relationship, we as adults expect a level of validation and sympathy or whatever it might be. well, we've got to give that to kids with their friendship, because their friendships are of that ilk. They're that important yeah. to them. And we as adults, I think, spend a lot of time trying to work out how to change kids' friends rather than just going with how do we ensure that they're healthy friendships and strengthening children's capacity to deal with difficult relationships and friendships. So I think friendships is one that I think we need. Kids have kind of told me has changed over that time. Their sense of freedom, I think, has really shifted as well. Even in 8 years, I think kids are less and less likely to walk to school, to go to a shop on their own, to go to the playground around the corner. And they're telling me that's what they want. So the things they write to me about are we just want to be trusted to do more things on our own, because they're always under some adult gaze. Like in some they're either at school, at home, they're monitored. They want a bit of freedom.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty basic, I think. And then I think of all of the adults. So I reckon all of your callers would be saying, when I was a kid, we could go out in the morning and not come back until we were hungry. And that was my childhood. That is not the childhood that kids experience now. And they want it. Like they wanted it.
Well, even I think it was yesterday I was driving home and I saw like three young boys on bikes on my street. And it stood out to me because I've never seen that before. I've lived in this house for 2.5 years and I went, huh, must be school holidays.
Yeah.
They're out on the streets and it's that's nice. And it stuck out to me, whereas when I was a kid, I mean, I take the bike out of it because I never learned how to ride a bike. But we would go and we would play, and it's different now to what it was when I was a kid, and I imagine what it was like when you were a kid and when my parents were kids, and so it has changed a lot.
Absolutely. Even, you know, I had a vacant block next to my house and kids made this great jumps on their bikes, and so this is a couple of years ago. And everyone complained. I was giving them, it was Easter time, I took them over some Easter eggs because I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen, these kids making these fantastic jumps. But again, people were really like, no, danger, or they should be at home, or all those kind of things. Kids, they want that freedom because they need to be able to test boundaries. And, you know, we need to build up the capacity to do that. We need to have little boundaries and then slightly bigger boundaries and then bigger again. So rather than it all kind of jumping in at the deep end when the adolescent kind of hormones all kick in.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot in the freedom space as well.
Is a lot of that, do you think, not necessarily not trusting the kids, but not trusting the adults around them that maybe don't know them? I mean, just last week we saw that really shocking story at the West Lakes duck pond. Adults, you know.
That was adults.
Yeah, that was adults. Yeah. You know, swearing at kids. Is it mainly about not trusting kids, but not trusting the adults around them?
I think there's a lot of focus, and there has been for a number of years now, saying that the world, like we kind of tell kids all the time to be fearful of the world. And I have often said every inquiry, commission, expose, whatever it might be, tells kids that there's a group of adults they shouldn't trust. So whether that's they shouldn't trust church leaders, they shouldn't trust scout leaders, they shouldn't trust politicians, they shouldn't trust sporting coaches, you can just name banks, you name it. Mm. We could just go through, you know, dozens of people that kids shouldn't trust. However, if you think about it, when we grew up, it was like these were the people you did trust. So if you start taking away all of this who you can't trust, well, what have we replaced it with? And we haven't done a very good job yet. Our messaging is go and find a trusted adult. I think it's really interesting. Where do kids find these trusted adults? Because we're giving these mixed messages all of the time.
The circle's closing in.
The circle's really closed in, exactly. And so I think there is something about then kids grow up thinking that the world is more scary than perhaps it is. And maybe it's about giving them the skills to notice what's happening around them, to notice if something has got danger clues and how to respond if it does, rather than trying to stop them experiencing it in the first place.
Mm, No, it's super interesting. It's very different as well, the different parenting styles, and you know, I'm coming up to that myself, and I'm reading online about parents who hide AirTags in the soles of their kids' shoes. They unstitch shoes and put them in there so they can track where they are and make sure they're safe on the walk to and from school. And I'm thinking, oh, that sounds over the top, but maybe when I have a child walking to school on their own, well, I want to know where they are, and there's a lot to think about.
And I remember as a, you know, primary school, I used to catch the bus across town to go to school.
Yeah.
But I remember my mum telling me, you know, how to watch out for people, like who are the people to watch out for on the bus? What was the kind of behaviours that made me take notice? What was going to make me sit down the front of the bus? What was going to make me sit next to another person I thought looked safer? You know, these are the life skills that kids need as well. And it's kind of the stuff, if we stop the exposure to risk, then we don't develop those risk management approaches and strategies as humans, I think. So I think there's a whole heap of stuff in there that kids are talking about. But still, the number one thing that kids talk to me about, write to me about, whatever it might be, when I'm walking down the street, they want to be heard. And so they keep on saying, have kept on saying, nobody listens to us. No one thinks we've got anything important to say, and we've got really good ideas that need to be considered. So my role essentially has been to get that message out and to say to other adults, you've got to start listening, because you can't, you know, respect is an action. It's not a word.
Mm.
So if we're really saying we want to respect kids, then we've got to actually do the action of listening to them and involving them. I think the other thing we do is we separate out children's and adults' lives too much. We kind of lost something along the way that said we live these separate lives and we come together occasionally, or we watch each other but we don't engage. So what is it that we can do to ensure that kids are in the same spaces as adults, actually working together, volunteering together, making decisions together, you know, weeding the oval together, whatever it might be,
we've got
to do it together.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really interesting observation over the last 8 years especially. All right, we might take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to hear your thoughts. 8223-0000 is the number. If you have a few minutes to hang around, Helen.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Great. Your thoughts on how the landscape for children in South Australia has changed. Do you agree that taking away some freedoms and we should let kids be kids more, like it was when we were younger? 8223-0000.
5AA Afternoons with Stacey Lee.
Good afternoon to you. It's 2:07 here on 5AA. We're in the middle of chatting to Helen Connolly, the Commissioner for Children and Young People in South Australia, for another couple of days at least until you head into retirement,
Thursday.
Helen. Oh, do you have a party planned?
I've got a party tomorrow night, actually, which
good.
Is quite nice. Yeah.
Very nice, as you should.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the changing landscape for children in South Australia, and you've been in this role, the first Commissioner for Children and Young People for 8 years, and how you shaped that for yourself. What about the next person? Has your replacement been announced yet?
So the replacement, so we've got an acting commissioner who's been announced, who'll be there for 3 months, and then over the next 3 months the next commissioner will hopefully start, probably July, I would say. So yeah, so they will be able to shape the role as to what they think as well, which I think is really exciting. The legislation is really clear. You can do 2 terms or 10 years, whichever,
yeah.
And then it's time for a change. And I think that's a really healthy thing, that we get some new thinking, new priorities. So who knows where the next person will take it.
Oh, it's like the President of the United States. They can only do 2 terms.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And I think that's a good – I do genuinely think it's a good thing. And I'm really excited, particularly if, you know, I was listening to the COP 31 announcement yesterday, and I was thinking, wow, you know, that would be an amazing thing for the new commissioner to come in and to really think about, how do you bring children's voice absolutely front and centre in those kind of issues? That's their issue of the future, isn't it? So there's a lot of opportunities, I think, here to really elevate kids into the spotlight again. So I'm looking forward to what the next commissioner can do.
Yeah. Well, and include kids in those conversations as well, as we were touching on earlier, letting kids be kids but not telling them what a kid is. I mean, children have views and opinions just like adults do, and they might change over time. But
absolutely. And you know, none of us change that much. I mean, I really do think if we look back, and you know, I've got 5 kids, I look at all of them and think they're pretty much the same people they were when they were kids. You know, the loud ones are loud, the quiet ones are quiet, the thinkers are the thinkers, those patterns stay. Okay, they get a little bit more worldly, but I do think there's great things in kids that we're missing by not spending the time to really understand what their world's like. And the other point I make whenever I put kids in front of leaders or politicians is that when we make decisions or solve problems that don't take into account the context, whatever that might be, we're going to make a worse decision. So we don't know what the context of living in 2025 as a child is. We have to actually ask them that. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, nothing about us without us should apply equally to kids as well.
Yeah, that's a really interesting note, I think. I don't know what it's like to be a kid in 2025. I know what it was like to be a kid 30 years ago.
Exactly.
And I didn't have social media and I didn't have a mobile phone and it was very different.
And we assume. We always assume as adults, don't we? And I'll say it's a bit like, you know, asking men to make decisions about women. Well, you know, actually we've moved past that. We know now that we know ourselves better and we're quite capable of making contributions. Well, here's now time to move down and go, actually, kids are in exactly the same position. And I think the other amazing thing about what I love about working with kids is there's not this, I mean, I feel like I've turned into a bit of an old nana in terms of my harking back on the past a lot. And the thing about kids is there's no past.
Yeah.
It's always about the future.
Yeah.
So everything is about what they're going to do, what they're going to achieve, what they want to learn, what they want to get better at, what they want to master, what they want to, you know, like that's an incredibly energizing, positive place to be.
Yeah.
To be always thinking about that into the future. So it's a really, it's quite nice. So, you know, as I kind of drift back into a bit of memories, I have to keep saying every experience that we give kids now is the memory making for them. So what is it that we as adults can really do to make sure that the memory making is something really positive?
Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful message and a really good note to end on as well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, sometimes I think it sounds a bit sooky or a bit whatever, but I do genuinely think that there's something about really tapping into positivity that's, I think, you know, the world needs that. At this time more than ever. So, and that's what our kids really do give us. And I know there's a lot of negativity around the things that are wrong with kids, but my message is there's a lot right with them and let's actually take inspiration from it.
I love that. I love that. And the perfect note to end on, Helen. Thank you so much for coming in and thank you for sharing your insights of what you've learnt in the role over the last 8 years and what you can share with us as well. And as the inaugural Commissioner for Children and Young People, I'm looking forward to seeing what the next Commissioner can carry on and your legacy in the role as well.
Thank you very much and good luck to you with your impending parenthood, which
is
amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, very, very exciting. Thank you.
Thanks.
Helen Connolly, the retiring Commissioner for Children and Young People, in another couple of days.